Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513. We'll be taking your calls live from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. I am John Schmuck, joined by Anita Marks all day long, and of course tomorrow
can
as well.
Can you handle that? Did you hear who he said that?
Yeah. All day long.
And of course, joined for the first part of the show is Art Stapleton from The Record, and we thank him for joining us. We have a load of guests coming on today, folks. We have Art leading us off. We have Mark Dominic from ESPN, former special teams coach in the NFL, Mike Westhoff, Matthew Berry, Mike Garofolo, Rob Rank from CBS. So a lot going on today, and we will get in your calls. I promise you we will do that as well. But we're going to start with Art here, who obviously was here for Ben McAdoo's first, I guess, you know, national press conference in front of the complete NFL media contingent. How do you think he did, and what were your takeaways?
You know, I thought when Ben came out, I thought he was a little nervous. You know, I was saying to some reporters afterwards, and even this morning, is that other than the Super Bowl, the Combine is probably the biggest press conference for a coach in the NFL. And I think Ben, his inexperience in a press conference setting, dating back to his days as a behind-the-scenes assistant coach, I think he was a little nervous yesterday. Not with the way he presented his information, but it can be a little daunting. But other than that, I thought he handled himself very well. And even after the fact, after the press conference, I thought the way he handled with our breakout group out here in the corridor, I thought he really kind of represented a little bit of what his last couple weeks have been like.
You know, I find it interesting. Obviously, a new style, a new way compared to Tom Coughlin. Two things I recognized yesterday, and that is, number one, I love his honesty. You know, if he's not going to give you an answer that you want, there's a reason for it, and he's going to tell you, listen, I'm not going to answer that because X, Y, and Z.
Right.
But then when he can answer a question, and he can be open about it, he's really open. I mean, he's an open book. And he really goes into depth, and he explains, and just the way he speaks to you is kind of on an equal level.
Yep.
And it's refreshing. It's different. I don't know how long it's going to last.
Right.
But I liked his interaction with the media yesterday.
You know, one of the things I was asking him about were the interviews, the idea of the prospect interviews here at the Combine and what he was looking to get out of it. And, you know, the point he made was you can't really learn a lot about a guy in 15 minutes, and the idea of guys being coached up. Well, I kind of found that ironic, in that because before Ben McAdoo was the head coach, the media, the beat writers, got 15 minutes a week with Ben McAdoo.
That's a great point.
And we really didn't know much about Ben McAdoo or get to interact with him. You know, look, you've got a Hall of Fame head coach in Tom Coughlin. You're the offensive coordinator, and within weeks of your hiring, people are calling you the heir apparent. You know, there's a lot to deal with when you meet with the media every week. Not that Tom was looking over his shoulder, but, you know, look, Tom was looking over his shoulder. I mean, Ben McAdoo was the offensive coordinator. You know, he's not going to come out and show his personality. So I think that's what's so revealing, what you're saying about, you know, the idea of every time Ben talks, we're seeing a little bit more of his personality, and still got a ways to go. But when you talk about his introductory press conference, all anyone wanted to talk about was the suit and, you know, how he looked and his fashion sense. And now you talk yesterday, and I thought he was pretty on point with some of the things he said. You know, he was asked about Victor Cruz and JPP. He made it a point to say he expects them on his roster in no uncertain terms. You asked him about Reuben Randall, and he said that decision really has not been made yet and wouldn't go there. So you can kind of read into that however you want. But I thought yesterday's McAdoo takeaways, it's really a bigger picture, and this was just the next chapter.
And by the way, wearing a stylish yet understated black polo.
Black polo, khakis, and I actually asked him about that when he walked away from our group, and that's where he gave
the
line.
That's nice. Don't embarrass him in front of everybody.
Well, he made the line about that he wanted to be as plain Jane as possible.
Oh, did he say that? I didn't even catch that.
So, you know, but I think Ben, it worked out in his favor. I mean, from what I had heard, 1925 Giants Drive, there was a line of tailors after his press conference, ready, willing, and able to outfit the new Giants head coach.
If I'm the men's warehouse, I'm calling him, like, the next minute. But I just want to piggyback really quick in regard to what Art said and Ben being kind of the next heir apparent and Tom Coughlin having to look over his shoulder. One thing that was really interesting in his tenure before he became the head coach, and you might not be as privy to this as we are because obviously we work for the organization and we're around, Ben McAdoo was very respectful in regard to head coach Tom Coughlin. We never really saw him. He never really spent a lot of time in the lunchroom. He never really was around. He'd come in, he'd get his lunch, and he'd go upstairs. And I think a big reason for that was because that was the talk, and that was the expectation, and he wanted to have the utmost respect for Tom Coughlin. It was Tom Coughlin's team. And so now getting to know him is one of the things for us because of the respect that he had and the way that he handled himself as an offensive coordinator. And I think it's important that the fans know that. I mean, you know, this head coach is a very respectful, honest head coach, and I really dig that about him.
And Art, what did you take in terms of newsmaking stuff that you took out of Ben McAdoo yesterday? Anything strike you that you thought was pretty significant that maybe you didn't know before he stepped up at the podium yesterday?
You know what? Not so much newsmaking. I mean, I think you know, he didn't really go into detail about why Jeff Schwartz and Will Beatty were released.
Correct.
And I thought that was kind
of services.
You know, and I think that was kind of the you know the understated. He didn't really give a you know an answer to that. I did think, you know, the idea of, you know, the question was asked, do you expect Victor Cruz on your roster in 2016? And his initial reaction was absolutely. And I think that's kind of what hung over. Now, obviously, business decisions can be made down the stretch. You know, Victor's still rehabbing. You know, he's going to get clearance to run next week for the first time since his calf surgery. So I think, you know, that in and of itself, I think he went out of his way to praise Jason Pierre-Paul. I thought that was interesting. Especially for a guy who's a pending free agent. But other than that, you know, I think it was just kind of that, you know, here I am, this is the last couple weeks, and this is where we're going forward. And I think it'll be very interesting to see how Jerry Reese handles his press conference later today. Obviously, the Giants are pretty close to the vest as far as revealing what their offseason plans are going to be going forward. Well,
he did say him and Jerry are joined by the hip.
Attached at the hip.
Attached to the hip right now.
And it's true. I walked a walkway in between the hotels and the stadium here yesterday, and I saw Jerry Reese, John Mara, Mark Ross, and Ben McAdoo all together, all walking and coming over here for whatever they were going to do their business yesterday.
Well,
so.
And that group is going to be making a lot of big decisions over the next month or so. Free agency obviously starts, Art, the second week of March. We're joined by Art Stapleton from The Record, John Schmelk, Anita Marks, Big Blue Kickoff Live from Indianapolis. And by the way, we're going to take your calls with Art in a few minutes, so get on the line, 201-939-4513. We'll get you on towards the end of Art's spot in a couple of minutes. And Art, the big decisions they're going to have to make, first of all, is what they're going to do with their own free agents. So I guess that's a good place to start because they can move on those guys now if they so choose, extend them, whatever they would like to do, new contracts. And the three big names are on defense, Jason Pierre-Paul, Robert Ayers, Prince Amukamara. Your thoughts?
I'd bring them all back, I think, at reasonable prices. You have to go with JPP first. I think the issue with Jason Pierre-Paul, obviously, is still the lingering doubt as to how much better can he be than last year. But it's going to be prices, you know, and the thing I've heard the last day or so about the market and the pass rushers, edge rushers are not there both on the market and in the draft. And that's clearly a need that the Giants have. So if you're going to overpay for an edge rusher, you're going to overpay maybe for the guy you have in the building. Maybe you can get Jason Pierre-Paul to come back, if not a 1 year, maybe a 2 year, and overpay a little bit and put some incentives in that deal to see where he is with that hand. And maybe he can bite on that and he wants to be in this franchise, that kind of thing. As far as Robert Ayers goes, you know, I think they're kind of hand in hand. I would not have Robert Ayers as the number one option in the pass rush, but Robert Ayers was a good player last year. I don't even need the statistics of the 9.5 sacks. I don't need to see that. I know how good Robert Ayers was.
Just watch him. He's active.
Yeah.
Very active.
He was the one guy, even when Pierre-Paul was not on the field, that when he was healthy, he was in the backfield. So I would re-sign Ayers at a reasonable price. I think he wants to be here. You know, he's from the area. I think Ayers will be back. And Prince is kind of the question mark. You know, we were talking about this off-air earlier. The idea of Prince, you know, you're going to pay for a cornerback in this market. And would you rather pay for Prince at $8 or $9 million, or would you rather bring in, say, a guy like Sean Smith at 11 or 12? You know, for me, I want to bring Prince back. I know the questions involved with Prince. It's injuries. It's, you know, he plays a physical style, so he's going to get hurt. But the reality is, and another factor we talked about, John, you have Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie in your secondary. DRC right now is the jewel of the secondary. He's making $7.5-8 million. If you let Prince go and you bring in a guy who's now making 10 or 11 and a guy who DRC is unfamiliar with, that could create an issue, just a business issue, in the locker room as far as a guy playing with DRC. So, you know, Prince comes back at an inflated salary. Maybe there's not as much of an issue with Prince and DRC. That's something on my mind that I'm thinking about. Jerry Reese and the front office might not care about that, but somebody who covers the team, you could create an issue, especially if things aren't going well early on in the year.
Since I've arrived here, my view in regard to what might happen with Prince has changed for two reasons. Number one, I mean, it's evident, and we talked about it before the show kicked off. I mean, we're talking about almost $60 million that the Giants have to play with. That's a lot of money. So maybe this is one of those instances where they will, quote-unquote, overpay for a guy that maybe they have a set value for Prince, but they might overpay to make sure that he could stay in-house. So that's number one. Number two, I spoke to a scout yesterday who's a consultant for a number of teams, and right now he's consulting them on free agency. He's consulting with 11 teams. Not one of them asked him about Prince Omokamara. Not one. So now what I find interesting is before we came here, I'm thinking that there was going to be a big market for Prince. I thought that maybe there would be a team that would overpay for him. Now, after the conversation I had yesterday, I don't know.
Well, the thing
I don't know.
You know, Anita, you talked about this off air, the idea that, you know, once this thing settles with guys who are, right now the market looks juicy. There are a lot of big names out there. Once the tags start getting put in and once guys agree to extensions with their current teams, now let's see what the market looks like on March 9th and what names are out there. You've got a lot of teams who have a lot of money that they have to spend.
Mm-hmm.
They have to spend the money. So, and Giants are one of them. They don't have to spend all of it, but they have $60 million in the coffers to say, you know what, we've got to make decisions. I do think that Prince is a guy that maybe that first week of free agency, you start stacking up the corners who are available, and I think all of a sudden his name moves into that market. If the top of the market is at 11 or 12, just talking off the top of our head, maybe he does fall in that 8 range, 8-9, when you average out the contract, just because of the position he plays.
When you look at this market, Art, and you know, as you move into it, if you want to get, you know, some of these premium guys, you know, how quickly are you going to have to act? And in the past, the Giants have been patient, even for one of their big free agents 2 years ago, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. That happened a little bit later on in the free agency period.
Right.
Do you think that's how they're going to operate this time around, or are they going to be right out of the gate, try to be that horse that, bam, gets the lead and is the pace horse at the start of this free agency process?
Well, I'll give you something. I'm going to write this, I think, in either today's story or over the weekend. You know, I was talking to a league source yesterday, and I brought up the Giants, and I said, you know, there are some free agents out there. What have you heard? What have you heard? And he said, I'll tell you what, quote, the Giants do not tamper. And I kind of laughed, and I said, come on. He goes, look, with me, the Giants do not tamper. You know, maybe they do somewhere along the line, but they are one of those teams that you will not hear much, if not anything, about them, even when they're discussing guys on their current team. He said, 1201, when that phone rings, and if it's somebody from the Giants, you know the mystery is over. They want your guy. He said, but up until that point, it's a little bit of a mystery. And I thought, you know, that is something that plays into this whole thing. you know, the league and the way things break down, as much as we hear about what the Giants are going to do.
Nobody knows.
Like I said, one person, it's only one person, but that's the theme that I've heard the last couple of days, is that the Giants are really playing close to the vest, and guys don't really know who their favorites are as far as who they're going to spring for on the market.
Are we going to take some calls?
We can take some calls, absolutely. 201-939-4513. I thought you had something. I guess
no.
Not. All right, here we go. Sal in Syracuse is actually one of the guys that was online yesterday, and he was waiting a while to talk, and we never got to him, and I felt bad about it. So I'm happy he's the first guy up today, and we welcome him to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Sal, what's going on? Thanks for joining us today, pal. Sal, you're with us. There we go. Now we got you, Sal. What's going on?
Carl.
Oh, I'm sorry, Carl. What's going on? What do you got?
I've got a couple questions. Well, first I want to start with DeForest Buckner. I know he's probably not going to be there. In his 3-4 scheme, doesn't really fit with the 4-3. But, wow. I mean, even the other guys you had on the show yesterday, how they talk about him, he's impressive. Shaq Lawson and Noah Spence. They're both 6'3", 15-pound weight difference, roughly. Can Noah Spence grow on his frame at all?
Yeah, I mean, look, guys coming out of college, I think, Carl, can always grow and get a little bit bigger. But I do think you hit it. You know, Noah Spence, and you heard from Steve Palazzolo yesterday when he spoke to us from Pro Football Focus, and he said, you know, Noah Spence is a guy that played the stand-up rusher position at Kentucky last year, while Shaq Lawson, on the other hand, is a guy that is more your hand-in-the-dirt, traditional, bigger 4-3 defensive end. And, Art, I think they'll get to a point here where the Giants have to make the decision when they get to the draft. Do you want the guy that is the explosive edge rusher, or do you want the guy that maybe slides more into that Justin Tuck type of category where he's going to be really good against the run, but also get you, you know, not maybe 16.5 sacks, but he'll get you 10 or 9.5.
Right. Well, and that's going to really depend on how they create, you know, how they recreate and reconstruct this offense, you know, this defensive front. The thing with Spence is you can't ignore the off-the-field concerns. And with everything that's happened in this league the last couple of years especially, you know, all the big themes here this week, Johnny Manziel, everyone keeps bringing up Johnny Manziel and what happened to him. Randy Gregory, what happened to him? You know, last year Randy Gregory slid from a first rounder to, I believe it was a third rounder.
Late second, I think.
Or
yeah,
late second with the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Everyone was praising the Cowboys during the year when Gregory came back, and then he gets popped and now is out for 4 games.
Yep.
So with Noah Spence, again, he may win the interview process. He may convince a team that he is deserving of that spot. But there are off-the-field concerns with Spence. As far as Lawson goes, I've heard from a couple guys that said expect Lawson to rise again here at the Combine. He was hurt at the end of the season.
Interesting.
Playing through injury. Maybe he rises a little bit. I'm not sure if he rises up enough, like you said, John. You know, Justin Tuck wasn't a top 15 pick. He may have ended up played like it, but he was not that kind of guy. That guy on the edge is going to be the premium, and I don't know if Lawson can get to that point. Also, you have Lawson's teammate at Clemson, Kevin Dodd, who had a better year overall than Lawson. So you have a big picture Lawson, Dodd for one season. It'll be interesting to see how those two guys play out.
And just making my way around Indianapolis, I'm sure you've done the same. We all have, kind of schmoozing and talking to a number of coaches and scouts and whatnot. Everybody is crazy about Miles Jack. That is the one guy. I am walking out of Indianapolis with, I mean.
Well, right now.
You know what you're going to hear, though. You know what you're going to hear.
Atlanta's at 7, right? A lot of people don't think he's going to get past Atlanta at 7.
Most people think he's going to be a top fiver from what I'm hearing.
Well, there are a lot of people who will bring up Mr. Banks, who we all know very well, who is the last linebacker to be drafted by the Giants in the first round. You know, and that, you know, Carl wasn't analyzing games. Carl was in games. It's been a long time since the Giants went for a first-round linebacker. I agree with you.
But
I would take Miles Jack.
This is a linebacker that can play safety and also can play running back.
And he also, by the way, covered wide receivers in the slot in the game against BYU last year.
I don't know if I'm putting Jack at running back. You know,
just don't take this dude off the field.
No, I mean, but Miles Jack is great. I mean, I have two players that I love in this draft just from what I've seen so far. Jalen Ramsey, I think, is tremendous. I think he would fit great with the Giants.
Valuable corner, safety, slot corner. You can do everything.
No way Ramsey's coming, falling to 10.
Don't think so.
And Miles Jack. I think Miles Jack is a great player, would be a great fit with the Giants. You know, again, until Jerry Reese says, I'm not taking a linebacker in the first round. There's still the possibility that the Giants take a linebacker in the first round.
And then the other interesting guy, too, that people love and would be mentioned with Miles Jack if he was healthy is Jalen Smith. So yeah. Then you have to make a medical determination on him. It seems like his on-the-field stuff is good enough, obviously, to be a top-10 selection, maybe even a top-5 selection.
Yep.
But then you got to decide, you know, coming off a torn ACL, who knows?
It's a that's one of the more fascinating stories that I think with the medical this weekend is going to go down with Jalen Smith is that, you know, can you afford, as any franchise, to be to have a red shirt in your first-round pick?
All right, real quick, Freddie in New Jersey. Freddie, one quick question, then we got to run for Art Stapleton. Freddie, go ahead.
How you doing? I just wanted to talk about the combine. There's two players that I like to see the Giants draft. Cornerback Hardy Burns from the U, and also maybe Deion Butch, the safety. Burns is the late first rounder. Maybe we can maybe drop to the second. So I just want to get your thoughts on that. And also Travis Benjamin, I think he'd be a great pickup for us. He's fast. He could hit the home run. Plus, he can help out the special team. So.
Freddie, I gotta Freddie, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it, and I hate to give you no answer, but I gotta be honest with you. I haven't done work on those two guys yet, so I'm not that familiar. Art, you got anything
for
me? Well,
they're from I think you said they're both from the U, right? I know Bush is from the U.
Right.
Obviously, teammate of Eric Flowers. I know the Giants have scouted Miami very well the last couple of years.
That's
so
true.
Maybe, you know, Giants are looking for safeties. They need a safety. The interesting thing, he mentioned Travis Benjamin, I think, from Cleveland. Their front office exec, Sashi Brown, was in there a little while ago. Talking about how it looks like they may get an extension done with Benjamin.
There were some reports about that, yeah.
So I think unfortunately, I think it was Freddie. I don't think Benjamin's going to be on the board if the Giants start to look for a guy.
Art, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
Art Stapleton.
Always a pleasure having you on.
From
you.
The record.